Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the reading that was read, Romans chapter 10. It seems like in every generation of the church, there is a tendency to feel like we have reached out to with the gospel in particular areas of the world or particular population groups that have largely rejected the gospel. So the church needs to now shake the dust off of our feet and give up on that mission to that particular area or that particular people. For example, most of us know that outreach to Mormons or Muslims is often not met with open arms, much less open ears. So we begin to feel like, yeah, we gave it that old college try. Now it's time to forget about Mormons and Muslims and cast the net of the gospel a little less widely and recklessly. Let's go fishing where maybe fishing is better. Even though the Christian mission was not yet 30 years old when Paul wrote these words to the Romans, the apostle was facing a similar attitude in the church, including the house churches of Rome, to whom our reading was written. The earliest church was primarily a Jewish Christian church, and evangelism in the Pauline mission to the Gentiles, ironically, began in the Jewish synagogues of the cities to which Paul visited. Even in the various Gentile congregations, there was often a Jewish nucleus of believers that were Jewish converts. We know this from Acts. We know this from some of Paul's letters, as well as the book of Revelation. However, we also know from those writings that there was a strong pushback and resistance from the Jewish synagogues to this early Christian mission. Once converts start leaving the synagogue and going to the church, then resistance followed. This probably led some Christians to think, including those in Rome, that we have reached out to Jews enough. Let's cut bait, fish elsewhere. That is why Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles, writes chapters 9 through 11, and our reading's right from the middle of that, in his letter to the Romans. He is making a defense, an apology, a defense for the ongoing mission to his fellow Jews. Yes, the apostle to the Gentiles, arguing for an ongoing mission to the Jews. Even though Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles, his practice in his travels throughout his life was to go first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That's why he writes, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." With these rhetorical questions, Paul beautifully testifies to the vital importance of continuing the apostolic ministry, the sending of pastors to testify to fellow Jews of Jesus as Lord, of Jesus as Yahweh who has come into this world in human flesh, to give his divine flesh and blood on the cross as a payment for all sins of all sinners, including those sins of Jewish sinners. As Paul writes elsewhere, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God. How are his fellow Jews going to hear the message of life unless the church continues to send preachers who testify of this Jesus to Jews? Paul knew that from his experience of traveling to and fro in the Roman Empire that his feet became extra dusty and extra calloused by this activity. And yet, as Isaiah wrote, they were beautiful because of the good news of a Savior from sin that came from the lips of those feet. Yes, the great advocate of the Gentile mission does not want to see the mission to the Jews shuttered and ended. But why were ancient Roman Christians tempted to give up the message and the mission to the Jews? And why are modern American Christians tempted to give up on Mormons, Muslims, and many others? Because none of us enjoys rejection. We all know it. None of us enjoys rejection. And yet the preaching of Christ often faces rejection. Paul affirms that in our reading. The rejection of the gospel is not a new pattern. It's long existed in the life of the prophets that preceded the apostles. Paul notes that long ago, Isaiah felt the same way, and he wrote, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" Yet Isaiah continued to preach and also wrote, as Paul quotes in our text, "I have been found by those who did not seek me, and I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." And we know some believe, many do not, yet we continue to preach Christ. Paul quotes Isaiah once again, "All the day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." That practice of the apostles continues in the practice, that practice of the prophets continues in the practice of the apostles, and it continues in the practice of pastors yet today. During my graduate studies at the University of Michigan, I remember the first time I met Mark Kinzer. Mark introduced himself to me. He was a new student in one of our doctoral seminars. He introduced himself to me as an observant Jew who believes in Jesus. And I said, "Well, I'm a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor." And the first thing that came out of his mouth was he said, "Thank you. You're part of one of the few mainline church bodies that still cares about bringing the message of Christ to my fellow Jews." He happened to be the leader of the Messianic Jewish community in Ann Arbor, and still is to this day. All of us have been impacted in the past few days by the vivid images of the devastation that wind and flooding from Hurricane Harvey has caused in Texas, even as we hold our breath and pray while Irma bears down on Florida. And one of the things that always amazes me in the aftermath of these devastating storms is the resilience to rebuild after the devastation. One would think that people would give up on the community and just move elsewhere. And maybe there is a lesson there for us as the church as we consider this text. The church is never to lose hope in the Christian mission in any part of the world or with any people group. Rejection, as Paul proclaims, will often happen, but miraculously, faith is born among people of every people and nation, even among Jews, Mormons, Muslims, from hearing the word of Christ, from hearing the gospel of a God who loves us and has come in flesh to redeem us. Through that message, the Spirit brings life into dry bones in every part of this world. At commencement in May, not all of you, but certainly all the faculty, heard from this pulpit about Pastor Gottfried Martens, who was an Oberursel exchange student here years ago when Dr. Fekenscher and I and Professor Pauls were all students, and also Dr. Grimm. He is a pastor in Berlin, Germany. Some of you have maybe read about him. Hundreds of baptisms of Muslims at his congregation in Berlin, Germany. And that is why Christ continues to send out workers like you into his harvest field, so that you continue to preach Christ crucified and risen for sinners to every sinner in the communities or countries that you are sent. Because that word of Christ on your lips will also make your feet beautiful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.